All right, walk by faith. Last week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, talking about Cain and Abel, and how that Abel showed that even in the midst of adversity, we must worship by faith. You know, his adversity came in the fact that his brother, you know, oppressed him and eventually killed him. And hopefully that doesn't happen to us, but there will be adversity. And we need to, Abel worshiped by faith. He believed God. God told him sacrifice a certain way, and Cain did it his way. And as a result, there was a problem between Cain, who represented the world, and Abel, who represented the spirit. And we have that same conflict today. But when trials come, not only must our worship be right with God, but our walk in this world must be right with God. Our walk should be pleasing to God. And again, that requires faith. It takes faith to worship, but it also takes faith to walk. And today we're going to look at Enoch, the next verse in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at 5 and 6. But verse 5 is about Enoch. And 6 is really, 5 and 6 are for all of us. But Enoch is the example. And so the Bible gives us a pattern on how to walk with God, how to be pleasing to God. You know, as a Christian, as someone that we claim the blood of Christ, we believe in what Jesus did for us, and we place our faith in Him, we ought to want to be pleasing to God and to be blessed by Him, even in the midst of adversity. You know, it's easy to please God, I think, when things are going good, we behave proper, you know, all those things. But when things get tough, do we still please Him? And that's something I battle. You know, my temperament, when I don't, you know, just like what we've been going through with the government and these kind of things, it gets on me. And it makes me angry, and I have to remember that God's in control, and I need, whatever I do, I still need to please Him, even in the midst of things that are going on that maybe I don't agree with or don't like. And it's just something I have to work on, and I think most of us do need to work on it. So the Bible, though, gives us a pattern on how to walk with God. So even though the basis of our verse or verses today, or the message today, the basis of it is chapter 11, 5, and 6. We're going to be in a lot of verses, and I have them all listed on your sheet. And so we're going to look at this pattern. And so let's just get right into it. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not experience death. And he was not, because God took him. For prior to his removal, he was approved, since he had pleased God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to, you know, you walk in a cemetery and you see things written on tombstones and stuff. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they could put on our tombstone, here lies so-and-so, a person who pleased God? I mean, wouldn't that be something? That would be just a wonderful thing. And yet, you know, we should be all about pleasing God, and people should see us when they see us and talk to us and deal with us on whatever level that people deal with us on. They should see something about us that's different, in that we are pleasing God. And so in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was approved. It says, for prior to his removal, he was approved. I mean, yes, it should be said of us that we have pleased God, but wouldn't that be great to say that God approved of me? That He approved of my actions? He approved of the things I did, the things I said, the way I treated people. I mean, all the things that go into our lives. Wouldn't it be great if God said, well done, good and faithful servant. I approve of you. I approve of how you lived your life. And what an awesome thing to say about someone. And here we have in the Word of God about Enoch, he was approved. And we're going to look at Genesis 5:21 through 24. It says, Enoch was 65 years old when he fathered Methuselah. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and fathered other sons and daughters. So Enoch's life lasted 365 years. He walked with God, and then he was not there because God took him. And so here we have someone that God approved of him so much. It's like God loved him so much because of his walk. And God just says, I want you to be up here with me. And he just took Enoch, just took him. Didn't even let him die. You know, wouldn't that be great? If God approved of me so much, he just did that. What a wonderful thing to be approved of by God. And so what was it that gave Enoch this approval? And I think the Bible gives us in these next, all these, I think I got seven things underneath by faith Enoch was approved. Seven things that talk about the path we must walk in order to please God. In order to please God. And so we're going to look at this. Let me shift my book here a little. So first of all, if we're going to please God, we need to walk in truth. We need to walk in truth. You know, 3 John verses 3 and 4 says, "For I was very glad when some brothers came and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, how you are walking in the truth. And I have no greater joy than this, than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So if you want to be approved by God, first of all, you've got to walk in the truth. It all starts with truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know, the truth is very important. You know, it's kind of like this stuff we're hearing about this virus that we're going on. You realize that doctor, whatever his name is, Fauci or whatever, he's changed his tune 12 times. 12 times. I mean, first it was okay to not wear a mask. Then you got to wear a mask. And you know, then you got to do this. Oh, you don't do that. Oh, you know, go ahead and celebrate. You know, it's okay, you know, to be around. Oh, no, you need a quarantine. I mean, there was 12 things that he changed. And it's like, and this is an expert? I mean, really? But truth is important. And I think that whole thing has illustrated to us just how important truth is. And God gave us His Word. Truth was so important to God that He wrote this Bible. Using men, but He wrote this Bible that we would have truth. That we would have what He thinks about things. Because, you know, what you think about things or what I think about things or what whoever thinks about things, that's nice. But you know what really matters is what God thinks about things. And God gives us truth. And we must know the truth. If we're going to walk with God, we've got to know truth so that we can walk the path, the right path. You know as well as I do, there's a million paths out there. But we got to walk the one that God wants for us. As individuals, as a family, as a church, as a state, as a nation, as a world. There's a path. And it's all based on truth. So it starts with truth. But then, it's not enough to know the truth. Question is, do you agree with it? You know, you have to walk in agreement. Walk in agreement. Amos, a small little book in the Old Testament, Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You know, it's to walk with God, you're going to have to agree with Him. You have to agree with what His Word says. Agreeing with God. And that really, this verse really implies confession. You know, when I do something wrong, why is it wrong? It's because I did something that God said not to do, or I didn't do something that God said I needed to do. And so there was something wrong. And so what do? When we realize that we made a mistake, when we realize we made a bad choice, when we realize we violated God's word, we what? Confess to Him, right? We confess our sin and say, "Lord, You were right, I was wrong. I agree with You, Lord. I should have forgave that person." Okay? There's a person in my life, and man, I've had a hard time with this, and I've been kind of treating them bad or whatever because I got something against them. But you know what? Bible says forgive. And so we come to a place and we go, Lord, please forgive me. I haven't treated this person right. I agree with you, Lord. I should treat this person differently. And to walk with God, we got to agree with Him, and which implies confession. It implies that, you know what, when we do violate Him, we're going to agree with Him that that was wrong. And we ask Him to forgive us, and He does, because He's faithful to do that when we're sincere. And you know what? Then we can walk with Him again. And so we start off in truth, and then we got to agree with that truth. But then you got to walk in love. Walk in love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave Himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. You know, when we confess our sin, we see the truth. We realize we're separated from God because of our sin. And so we confess to God, I was wrong, Lord, please forgive me. In love, because He loves us, He forgives us. And then now we are able to love Him back, and we're able to love one another. It's based on truth and agreeing with God, and then we have to walk in love. We got to demonstrate love in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts. Then once you do that, when you realize that God has forgiven you, you walk in submission. You walk in, you submit to Him. You figured out the truth, right? You realize you need to confess because you weren't in agreement with Him. In love, He forgives you. And because of that love, you submit to Him. Because when we love God, we submit to His Word. 2 John verse 6, at the beginning of the verse, it says, he defines it. He says, this is love. This is love. That we walk according to His commandments. This is love. That we walk according to His commandments. So because we love Him, we submit to His Word, and we walk according to what His Word says. If He says forgive, forgive. If He says to help someone, you help someone. If He tells you to witness to someone, you witness to him. You know, whatever it may be, you do that. You submit to His will in your life. And you will be walking by faith in doing that. Because we love God, we submit to His Word. And then the next step is you walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 and then verse 25. Paul writes, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Is that not the battle we have? My flesh says, don't let them off the hook. The Spirit says, forgive them. Forgive them. Look what Jesus said. Forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And do you realize a lot of times when we have issues with people, they don't even know what they're doing. And I've had to tell myself this, you know, about our officials in government and stuff. I really feel like they don't know what they're doing. Maybe on a couple of levels, they don't know what they're doing. but the bottom line is, you know, when we make a decision, when we do something, it affects other people. And we need to understand that we need, if we're going to please God, if we're going to walk with Him, the way we handle ourselves in this life, we better walk in the Spirit. Because our flesh is going to pull us. Our flesh is going to pull us to the way we would rather do it, rather than the way God would have us do it. Says, so I say then, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. That's the path. The Spirit has you on a path. If you are a born-again believer, you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit has come to indwell in you, and He's wanting to take you on a path. And we have freedom. You know, we sang some songs about freedom today. You know what salvation did for you? It gave you the freedom to choose your path. It gave you the freedom to choose your path. You know, before the Bible says we were a slave to sin. We were on a one-way ticket to hell. There was no other path for us. But when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, that debt is paid. You are no longer on your way to hell, but you are still in this world. And the Spirit wants to lead you, but now you have freedom to choose. You're no longer a slave to your sin. You can actually choose to do what's right. You can actually choose to obey God. You can actually choose to follow the Spirit. But also, with that freedom, we can choose to not listen to the Spirit. We can choose to pick our path. We can do those things. And I guarantee you, we can all sit here and think about our past, and we can look back and see places in our lives where we chose our path. You know, we knew there might be another path, but we chose ours, and then God has to work with us, doesn't He? And He works with us, and hopefully to bring us back on the path that He has for us. But to walk in the Spirit, to submit to His Word. You know, we've been commissioned in these previous ones to know the truth, to follow the truth. But you got to realize, in order to be successful in that, it requires the power of the Spirit. It requires the Holy Spirit working in you. Because you know what? It's not in my nature to forgive. It's not in my nature to put others first. What it is in my nature is to be selfish. We are selfish people. Even the most compliant person still, maybe they never voice it, but inside, they still want things their way. Everybody wants things their way. That's just our nature. But it takes the Spirit working in us and us submitting to Him. That's why the Bible says, don't quench the Spirit. We actually have the ability to quench the Holy Spirit, and where we don't even realize He's trying to take us down a certain path. The Bible says, don't quench the Spirit. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Submit to the Spirit, okay? That's what we're talking about here. So, to submit to His Word requires the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we walk in light. We walk in light. You know, we're not supposed to walk in darkness. We're supposed to walk in light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Now this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. So we can say we're Christian, we can say, you know, we're doing all these things, and we can say we're walking with God, but if we are walking in darkness, if we are doing things in opposition to God's Word and to His Spirit, the Bible says we're lying. But I love this last verse, in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. You know, we got to walk in the light. The Spirit wants to illuminate our path so that we can see where we go. You know, sometimes you get up in the middle of the night and it's dark and you don't want to turn the light on, and you step out there and you hit your foot. You know, or if you're like me, you know, I crash into the door or something. The door's not open all the way and I don't see it. I hit the door, or I hit the corner of the dresser. You know, it hurts because you're not ready for it, you know. And so many things we do hurt us because we don't have the light on. We're not walking in the light. We're walking in what we think is our light, what we think is light. But is it truly Him? Is it truly His ways? His guiding Spirit in our life, leading us where we need to be. Which brings us to the last point under verse 5, which is walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. I love this. I teach this verse a lot when I counsel people before they get married. I teach this verse. It says, pay careful attention as to how you walk. Pay careful attention as to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise people. making the most of the time, because the days are evil. And I love this last part. So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand His will. See, that's how we wrap it up. We understand His will, His truth. You know, it takes a full circle. You know, we go back to truth again. What's the will of the Lord? Well, we're going to walk in truth, because that's how He works. He is truth. That's the only way He can work. And so it's a full circle. Walk in truth, walk in agreement, walk in love, walk in submission, walk in the Spirit, walk in life, walk light, walk in wisdom, walk in truth. It just goes, it's one feeds the other. And when we walk in the light, when we walk in wisdom, you know what happens? We make wise choices. We make wise choices. And this is how Enoch walked. He walked in truth and he walked in all these things. And God approved of him. And God loved him so much, He just took him. That he did not experience death. It's an amazing thing. By faith, Enoch was approved. In the top verse, top of verse 6, we have, by faith, Enoch was convinced. It says, now without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you get that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, we think we're pleasing God because we do this or that, or, you know, maybe we do do some things in His Word. You know, we know enough of the Word and we do it. But let me ask you a question. How's your faith? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it says, for the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists. Must believe that He exists. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to Him. You want to draw near to Him? I mean, hopefully as a Christian, we all want to draw near to God. You must believe that He exists. And so by faith, in first part of verse 6, Enoch was convinced. He was approved, but he was convinced. Faith begins by believing that God is. Faith begins by believing that God is. Nowhere, I mean, you look it up, I have not found it. Nowhere in the Bible do we see God trying to prove His own existence. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't say, well, you know there's God because this, 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 and this. It doesn't say that. I've got some scripture references there. Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1 are the exact same verse. The exact same verse. It just says this. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So God doesn't try to prove that He exists. He just says, you know what? If you say that there is no God, you're a fool. You're a fool. He just says it. Doesn't defend himself. Doesn't show a 14-point proof on His existence. In Romans, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. He's saying it's self-evident. Look around you. Just look at the creation and you know there's a God. It's just that simple. I don't have to prove it. Just look around. It's there. I'm there. Deuteronomy 7:9, the first part of that verse says, know that Yahweh your God is God. That's it. Know that Yahweh your God is God. It's just that simple. Sorry, I think I'm going to sneeze. Sun's getting me. All right, now that I said that, it's going to go away. But anyway, so by faith, Enoch was convinced. And you know what? If you are convinced that there's a God, and I would like to think that y'all do because you all have accepted Christ as your Savior and all those things, but how convinced are you that His Word is accurate, that His Word is true, and that you are better off by following His Word? You have to be convinced. Convinced in your heart that God is who He says He is. Just simply put, By faith, Enoch was convinced. And then lastly, by faith, Enoch was rewarded. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. God's rewards. God's rewards. I like Hebrews chapter 11, later in this chapter, verses 24 through 26. By faith, there's that faith again, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin. For he considered the reproach because of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, because his attention was on the reward. On the reward. You know, Enoch didn't know he was going to be taken. He walked 300 years with God, and then God took him. Now think about that. You know, that just ponder that for a minute. 300 years. I mean, I feel pretty good if I walk with God for a week. You know? Say, wow, I got through this day. I think I pretty much walked with God today. Wow, let's have a party. You know? But 300 years. I mean, 99% of us won't even live 100 years, okay? He walked with God 300 years. Man, when you start looking at things like that, it's like, wow. I feel kind of ashamed. I've really fallen short of the standard here, you know? I mean, for crying out loud, I was 32 years old before I even got saved. So I already wasted over a third of my life, didn't even know the Lord, okay? And here's a guy that walked with God 300 years. Amazing. By faith, though, Enoch was rewarded. By faith, Moses was rewarded. And you know what? By faith, you walk with God. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. So the question becomes, are you seeking God? Are you seeking his ways, his truth? Are you seeking his path for you? Bible says if you seek, you will find. You know, if you are honestly seeking, he will show you the way. It's just up to you to decide you're going to follow. You know, Jesus said what? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus said. It takes faith to do that, folks. He's saying, die to yourself. Die to your wishes. Die to your plans. Die to your programs. And let God have charge of it. That's what he's saying. And you know what? There's a reward. You're going to get a well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into this kingdom. And there's going to be rewards here on earth. There's going to be fruit of your obedience. Fruit of your serving God. Fruit of you walking on that path, whatever it may be. It may not be in material things. It may not be in tangible things. It may be something like peace in the midst of the storm. That's a reward, folks. It can be a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be something that you grasp. By faith, Enoch was rewarded. He was approved. He was convinced. He was rewarded. Our walk is directly related to the object of our faith. What's the object? Are you trusting in Jesus? Or are you trusting in... You know, I used to work with a lot of people that trusted in their company. You know, their company, their plan for the company was going to be there. That's where they were putting all their eggs in that basket. Then the company goes bankrupt, or the company changes the rules. You know, and now it's not so good anymore. Where are you putting your faith? Our walk is directly related to the object of our faith. There are three attributes we must have in order to walk by faith with God. Now this was the road, if you will, but there's got to be something within you. These are the things that we need to do to walk by faith. We need to believe these things, but there's got to be something within you. in order for these things to happen. And the first thing is, we got to desire God. Do we desire God? Are we supposed to be with Him? Are we wanting to be with Him? To be in His good graces, to be obedient to Him. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? You got to have a desire in your heart for God, or none of this is going to happen. We must, if we're going to walk by faith, we got to desire Him and His ways and His Word and His Spirit working in our life. That means we got to put ourselves down and lift Him up. He must increase, I must decrease. Secondly, we must let God develop us. We must let God work in us. You know, Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, we've got to let, you know, we can get saved and we can say, wow, you know, I want to do these things for God. But then when He starts working in us, do we let Him accomplish His will? Remember what I said earlier, you know, He can tell us what He wants us to do, but we still have the freedom to make the decision. We still have the freedom to say, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, it may not go well with you if you make that decision, but we do have that ability to hinder God working in our life. We must desire Him, and we must allow Him to develop us. He doesn't typically force His will on you. He'll bring things in your life to move you in a direction, but have you ever known somebody just so stubborn they don't ever give in? And they just have a really bad time of it, you know, because they're just fighting God. You know, Jesus used to tell the disciples, why do you kick against the pricks? Talking about the pricks was like an ox goad. And they would prick this ox on the right side so he would go left. Or they prick him on the left side so he would go right. And if the ox didn't want to go, he'd kick. Kick that thing away from me. I want to go this way. And Jesus used to tell that to people, told it to the disciples. Why are you kicking against the pricks? God's trying to prick you in a certain direction. He's trying to guide you and lead you. And sometimes He tries to get behind you and prick you, you know, and move you over. You know, we got to let Him do that. We got to go with it. Do you trust Him? Do you have faith in Him? Do you understand that He only wants good for us? We sang that in that song this morning. You know, the good that He wants for us. Do you believe that? That's faith. And then third, we must be devoted to God. We must be devoted to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, and this verse is powerful. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh. Now look at this. This is a mandate for us, folks. Since Christ suffered in the flesh, equip yourselves also with the same resolve. Equip yourselves also with the same resolve. Because the one who suffered in the flesh has finished with sin in order to live the remaining time in the flesh, no longer for human desires, but for God's will. Think about the resolve. Christ knew He had to go to the cross. And He resolved Himself. He did His work on earth and went to the cross. And He never turned back. He fulfilled the Father's will. And now we are challenged. Equip yourself with the same resolve. Are you that devoted? Jesus was devoted to the Father. He was devoted to the Father's will. Are you also devoted? Am I also devoted? There's a verse in Proverbs. It's not on your list. It's not on your thing. Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You know, your faith is going to reveal be revealed in the adversity that we find ourselves in. That's when you find out what you really believe. And if we faint, if things get tough and we just give up, well, we didn't really have a whole lot of faith to start with. We might have said we did. But when you're squeezed, that's when you find out what comes out. And what comes out is what was already in there. For good or for bad. Our faith is revealed by our walk. When we place our complete faith in Jesus Christ, no adversity, no trial, no circumstance will get in the way of our walk with Jesus. And then I put this in big letters because it's important. There is no safer place. There is no more blessed place than to walk at the side of Christ, to walk in the will of our Lord. It's the safest place you can be, is with the Lord. To be in His will, to be at His side. There's no better place to be. Regardless of what it looks like, there's no better place to be. For those of you here listening to me, for those of you online, do you know the truth? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? You understand what the truth is. The truth is there's a heaven and there's a hell. The truth is there's a God that loves you. And He sent His Son to die for you. That's truth. And He wants to have a relationship with you. But it can be only done on the basis of Jesus Christ. There is only one way to heaven. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Have you ever confessed your sin, asked God to forgive you, and placed your faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross to pay the price for your sin? If you have not ever done that, I pray that you would today. For the rest of us, how's your walk? Are you walking with God? Do you desire Him? Are you longing to be with Him? Are you allowing Him to work in you, to change you, to mold you, to conform you into the image of His Son? Are you resisting Him or are you allowing Him? Are you devoted to Him? Are you devoted to His Word? Are you willing to lay it all down, to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Him? Are you willing to do that? That's a question for all of us to ponder. Enoch. Lord, help me be like Enoch, to walk with You. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we come before You just recognizing how weak we are, how insufficient we are. But Lord God, You are not weak. You are strong and You are sufficient. And Father God, help us to rest in You. Help us to place our faith in You. Help us to trust You with our very lives. Help us to trust You with the path that we're on. And Lord God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, to know what You are wanting of us, Lord. And that we would have the faith and the courage to follow wherever You may lead. Father God, You are a good God. You love us. And I know that in this world we're going to face heartache and adversity. But Lord, it is very comforting to know that You are there and that You never leave us or forsake us. Help us, Lord, to remember that. Help us, Lord, to devote ourselves to You, to desire You, Lord, to allow You to develop us, that You would be glorified, that we would prosper in our relationship with You. And Lord, that Jesus would be proclaimed all over this valley. Bless our church, Lord. Bless these that came today. Bless those online. Lord, may Your word change our lives in a mighty way. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you soon.